Military Family Speak Out was formed in November of 2002. It was formed by three parents. We range all the way from extremely conservative and finely focused to anti-war and pacifist, and every kind of gradation in between. The hope was that they could get military families together who would then go to Congress and sort of head off the war before it began, but that didn't work. But what happened was when family members started seeing this organization, all of a sudden there was a landslide of people writing in and going, I want to join, because they thought, what can I do? I mean, we were powerless. We're not rich. We're not highly educated normally. And all of a sudden, here was an organization that was supposed to try to stop this war. And so we grasped at it. And it gave us the means to do something rather than just sit at home and cry about what was happening to our loved ones. In my own particular case, my daughter was stuck on an army base 1,000 miles away from home, and they weren't going to send her home. At the beginning of the war and the occupation, there was no plan in place for National Guard troops should they be injured. At the time, 40% of the troops in Iraq were National Guard. 40%. Here we have injured soldiers coming back. They have to go on an army base and stay on active duty to be treated because there's no medical care for National Guard members. Once they're not on active duty, they don't have anything. So here she is, she's injured, and they have a number of injured National Guard troops with her from various units, and they're all on this base in Colorado. And so they line them up and they tell them, hey, you know what? You guys have to stay on active duty to be treated. If you don't sign this waiver absolving us of any duty to treat you past 90 days, we're not going to send you home. Well, a number of them signed the waiver because they wanted to go home. They didn't want to be stuck away from home for another, you know, year or however long. I mean, they just came back from war. But my daughter, she was smart. She refused to sign the waiver because she was severely injured. And she said, what am I going to do? How am I going to be treated? They said, well, you're going to have to stay on active duty. Well, the months roll by, and I'm flying over there all of the time, and pretty soon the baby's due, and it's August, and the baby's born, and I'm there for a couple of months, and I'm in school. You know, I was an undergraduate at the time, and I'm going, how am I going to handle this? How can I keep doing this? And here she is. She's totally freaking out. I mean, here's a woman with severe post-traumatic stress, a severe injury, and a brand new baby. And my friends would go and fly out there and be with her for a while, but, you know, we're running out of people to take care of them. And so I saw my congressman, Peter DeFazio, on campus, and I went up to him and I said, I really, really need your help. I said, my daughter's stuck in Colorado. They don't want to operate on her. They're not treating her, but they're keeping her on active duty. And I said, we've got to get this kid home. She needs to be with her mother. She needs some help. So he said, okay. He said, write a letter and tell me what you want. So I wrote a letter explaining all of the things that have happened and explaining that this is happening to National Guard troops all over the country. So Peter DeFazio read it on the congressional floor. And Congress, they issued a literal act of Congress and sent it to the Secretary of the Army to have all of the things that I asked for happen. They sent my daughter home. She was seen by civilian doctors. She got to keep her job pay until they decided if she was too disabled to work, and they started addressing her disability. So it worked. And then Congress became aware of what was happening with the National Guard troops because they just never thought about it. Nobody had told them. So that's what the organization really does. Our voices get heard where they may have never been heard before in our entire lives. And all of a sudden, we have some way to be heard, and we have some way to do something that we feel is constructive and something that's actually working, because now I read our talking points coming out of the mouth of the media. So I know that we've been successful. So how many other people know what it's like for us? It is a volunteer army. Not everybody's sacrificing. It's easy for everybody to say, oh, yeah, let's go off to war. But hey, they're not enlisting. They're not giving up their sons and daughters. So I think that they need to hear from us, or else our loved ones will just be forgotten when they come back. Nobody will tend to them. Nobody will take care of them. Nobody will care about them if we don't speak up. And also, I think it's important for the public to hear voices like my voice, because that way they understand that military families come in all different types and that this is real, what's happening to our kids. When I go to speak, I want people to understand what it's like. Bring them a little insight into something that they will hopefully never, ever have to go through. And then all of a sudden our soldiers become somebody real, not just some stupid yellow ribbon on the back of a car. I speak to high schools because I try to head them off at the pass. I want to take that glorification of war away, you know, and get them to thinking more like, yeah, well, I might be 27 and never be able to walk around the block again or do any of the things I like. You know, I mean, they need to realize their realities. And I speak to everybody who'll listen. I think that it's just really important to talk to everybody and let them know where I stand, because either it surprises them or they go on to tell somebody else, or at the very least, it gets them to think. As adults and voting adults and people who are supposed to be in charge of our country, it's up to us. We have to understand what drives young men and young women. For instance, people always say, well, why are you protesting the war? Why are you protesting what's happening to your daughter? She signed up. But for one, she signed up in the National Guard in a time of peace. But even for all of the soldiers and the troops, they don't really know. I mean, they're not adults. They think they want to do this. They think that this is good, that is wonderful, that is exciting. And it's up to us as the adults to make sure that they don't get misused, to make sure that we don't send them somewhere and turn them into killers for no good reason.